It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are here in the studio today on a very special day. We are marking our 500th Van Wee Financial Hour.
Unbelievable.
And it's a good thing I was gray when I started coming in here. I'd be really gray by now.
I mean, I'm definitely grayer.
Yeah, definitely. No, that's quite a few. Won't hold a candle to a lot of people, but for a little weekend warrior, it's pretty good. And we appreciate it. You're the reason that we've been doing it so long, and we've got no plans to quit. So just keep listening, and hopefully you'll just get smarter and smarter every week. And we'll sit here as usual today, and we'll talk about all the things we want to talk about, and we will do so until one of you wants to change the subject, and you do it by picking up the phone and dial 904-222-8255. We will put you on air immediately and talk about whatever it is that's on your mind today instead of ours. So for all the regulars who've made this possible, thanks for always being there. And if you're new, stick around. And if you like it, tell your friends. We don't advertise. This is our advertising right here, which is just fine with us because we're not owned by anybody. We put the independent in independent advisory. And we're going to keep it that way. So just involves doing what we do and doing it as well as we can and being here all the time to answer your questions and give you good information. So with that in mind, I mentioned last week that if we had another week like the week before, Adam would be in a good mood. And I got a funny feeling Adam's in a pretty good mood today.
I am.
An unusual week we have just had.
Yeah, so a number of things. The market did have a good week. It was powered by a 50-point rate cut from the Fed. We said last week that we thought it would be a 25-basis-point hike, but they went for the larger cut. The market was pricing in a 50-50 chance last Saturday, so it wasn't unprecedented or unexpected. We just thought they would err on the side of caution, and they did the opposite, but that's why predicting Fed actions is nearly impossible.
Absolutely. Or reactions to Fed actions.
Yeah, well, no, those are actually pretty easy to predict.
Yeah, yeah, up and down.
Especially during a political election year like we're in right now, because we saw politicians on both sides doing what politicians do, and you know, one side saying that, oh, this is a political cut, and the other side saying that, well, not really talking about it because there's, I don't know if there's a positive on that side, on the Democrat side. The reason that this is so interesting is because it's so easy to make a claim that, oh, they went with 50 because the economy is so bad, mm-hmm. and they're trying to rescue it. And is that true? I mean, there's definitely bad things about the economy. I just didn't think it was worthy of a 50-point cut. I thought 25 was fine. We can do a slow steady. I think the real reason, in my opinion, that they did the 50-point drop is that I think that they wanted to get ahead of the curve. Mm-hmm. And the Fed has a long history of doing too little too late.
Yeah. And if you Google too little too late, you get pictures of every
Fed chair
in history.
Exactly. I think they wanted to stay ahead of it. And I think that in their minds, this was the way to do that. Now, are they putting us at risk for a resurgent inflation? Maybe. We don't know. It's a possibility. But I do think that they felt it was warranted. I don't think it was political. I think it was more a reaction to not wanting to fall into the same sort of criticism that the last 8 Fed chairs have gotten.
Yeah, the problem trying to curb inflation is with the current administration because they are not allowed to say things like drill, baby, drill, or reduce the price of fossil fuels mm-hmm. or any of those things. They are politically restrained from doing that, whereas Trump is running on that very thing because his side does not matter at all. What we want is cheap energy pulled out of the ground and so on. So when you've got an in-power party that can't do it, they're going to have a lot of trouble taking inflation down to that next level.
This is true. Yeah, I mean, but that is the policy, and we know that.
Yep.
The on the flip side, we know that there's not going to be any more crazy new spending bills passed between now and next year. So, so at least we're not in danger of printing any more money than is necessary to keep the economy, the government running. Yeah. So,
and there's only what, another 9 days left in this the government fiscal year.
Oh, yeah. It
ends on the 30th.
Almost at the end of the quarter.
As usual, here we are 9 days from the end of the year, and they still haven't accomplished anything. This is
some
a recording.
Some things never change.
Yeah, we could just record this segment and come in 15 minutes late every end of September show.
Yeah.
It's never changed. It's always promised.
Here comes the finger pointing. It's their fault. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you canceled this. Yeah. You didn't do this.
And you wouldn't let me do this.
And unfortunately, it's all about who wants to spend more money as usual.
Exactly. As with rate hikes, rate cuts have winners and losers. Anyone needing to borrow money. So if you're looking for a car loan, a mortgage, an SBA loan, you're now able to more than likely get that loan at a lower rate, which means lower payments, which means more free cash in your business or in your personal life. So all that is great news for borrowers. The problem is, on the flip side, we've been growing accustomed to 5%+ interest rates, and those are gone. Not gone, but I shouldn't say that. They are going to be harder and harder to come by. And so if you are buying things like CDs, high-yield savings accounts, or money market mutual funds, all of that, the yields, you're going to start seeing those drop. I don't want to say dramatically, but you're looking at in the fours for the most part, and maybe even some threes, like on a high-yield savings account, instead of the you know, fours and fives that we've been seeing over the last year and a half. So that was fun while it lasted, but but all good things come to an end. My hope is that the Fed doesn't get too carried away with rate cuts and take us back down to 1% interest rates. That was not fun. Well, it's easy money is, you know, cheap money is fun if you want to go on a spending spree. But the fact is, I think we got a little bit addicted to it over the last 10, 15 years. And I just don't want to get down there again. I would like to be able to still make money, especially for my older clients, on relatively safe investments. And that's just not possible at 1% interest rates.
Yeah, at the federal level, the massive debt, where are we now? 35?
$6 trillion. It just depresses me to track it.
Yeah, the interest rate we're paying on that will start to fall down.
That's good too. Yeah.
So that's a minor. You know, when you're looking at an annual deficit of a couple $1 trillion, what's that going to help you? A couple $100 million or billion? I mean.
Yeah.
But the point is, it's better than it.
It is. It's
was
better
from that standpoint. So when we come back after a very short break here, I'll ask Adam the big question: what should everybody do about it? See what happens there. All right, we're going to pay a few bills and get on it. We'll have a trivia question right after the break. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we do have a trivia question today, brought to you as usual by Paul Lloyd at First Coast Alarm. And you can get a hold of Paul at 904-636-7888. And I remind everyone who might want to take a shot at this that lines are open, 904-222-8255. We have spent basically the entire year, we as a society, discussing the problems with college, the financial part and others, but I'm, of course, dwelling on the financial parts largely. But a lot of recent college graduates are finding that they really aren't getting out of their degree what they thought they would. Were they lied to? Were they misled? Throw in any term you want.
Unreasonable expectations,
yeah,
perhaps.
All of the above. Yeah. You're young and starry-eyed, and you get to go to this fabulous place, and on and on and on. Anyway, the college majors, the five college majors that most of the graduates say they regret, I'm going to give you four. I want the trivia question says, what's the fifth one? That one of them is the social and behavioral sciences. Second one, humanities and arts. And these are not in any individual order, by the way. The fourth is life sciences, and the fifth, well, I skipped third, so we'll look for the third one. It was education. So social, humanities, life sciences, and education. What is the fifth one that people complain about and they have regrets forever choosing it as a major? And it's kind of a sleeper.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. It's
one that those of you who know me know how much I like these because it's a sleeper with a point.
Yeah, definitely.
And we got one.
So I didn't get to most of my my market wrap because we were talking about the Fed, and that was such a dominant topic this week. But the we did see a nice week. We saw the S&P rally by 1.4%, NASDAQ by 1.5%, and the Dow by 1.6%. And pretty much every index I looked at was up by at least 1% this week, which is just really strong performance. There were some sectors of the S&P that were down, though, so it wasn't all roses. Consumer staples fell by 1.5%. Real estate was down 1.4%. And healthcare was down 0.6%. And then semiconductors were off just a hair. However, on the flip side, energy was up 3.4%. Communication services, utilities, and financials were all up more than 2%. So the good kind of outweighed the bad this week, but there was under the surface a little bit more sector rotation than you might suspect on such a strong rally. International stocks were, again, mixed like they were last week. Hong Kong and China actually were the big winners. I haven't said that in a long, long time. Hong Kong was up over 5%. China was up 4.3%. Israel was down over 3%, while Brazil lost 1.7%. Well, a little turmoil happening over in that part of the world, most of the countries I looked at were up between 1% and 2% for the week, and the all-world index was up 1.3%. So a good week internationally as well. Commodities had a great week with the index hitting, climbing 2.5%. Oil was up 4.3%. Natural gas was up 6%. That's a first. Gold and silver both gained 1.4%. Despite the 50-point rate cut, fixed income went down this week. This was mainly because it had already been rallying into the rate cut. And so sort of a buy the rumor, sell the news type of event there. And it probably got a little ahead of itself. The overall bond market was down 0.2%. Long treasuries were off 1.3%. Short treasuries were actually up slightly. So a little bit different moves along the yield curve. One great thing about the current market is the impressive breadth we're seeing. The S&P Equal Weight Index is sitting right at an all-time high and has seen very impressive performance recently. Five of the six mega-cap tech stocks are sitting 2 to 15% below their all-time highs, yet the S&P 500 is sitting right at an all-time high. This proves it isn't just a mega-cap tech-driven market this year. You're seeing a lot of other sectors and things that were not doing well earlier this year and last year start to do well, and that is a very good sign for the health of the stock market. Well, lower mortgage rates has not yet led to a surge in home buying. It has led to a surge in refis. This is probably part of the reason that retail sales came in a little bit better than expected this month, showing a modest growth of 0.1% versus an expected negative 0.2%. And the reason I say that is when you do a refi and you save a significant amount on your mortgage, you then tend to go spend that money rather than saving it. So yeah,
if you're filling up your tank for 10 or 20 bucks less.
That too. That's yeah, money in your for pocket. Sure. So those two things combined probably are what pushed that report into the positive. There were actually more sectors of the retail sales report that went down than up. So the breadth was pretty bad, but the uptick in miscellaneous and online sales was able to skew the report positive, especially online sales. That's actually a huge portion of the report now. Relative to where it was even 10 years ago, it's one of the more dominant categories. Despite the strong retail sales report, retail stocks were not able to break out to new all-time highs this week, although they did get very close, and we are approaching the holiday shopping season, so that's something to keep an eye on as well. And that's the market wrap.
All right. It was certainly interesting. I really like that part about the equal-weighted S&P and the small and mid-caps coming up.
Yeah, definitely.
They've been kicked around for as long as I can remember.
Way too long, really.
Yeah. So if you're looking to make some portfolio shifts, you should have started already. And that's what I wanted to ask Adam. as a professional money manager with a lot of other people's money to keep invested, are you doing anything differently because of what happened in the Fed this week, or are you just carrying on from what our expectations were?
Yeah, I didn't make any changes this week because we'd already anticipated this and have started making those changes 3 to 6 months ago. The biggest one is getting out of slowly unwinding our positions in the money market mutual funds, because I don't think it's not this pressing need that you have to do right away, because you're still making 4 point, in the high fours, or it's not like it's a terrible yield. I just don't want it to get down to under four, and then it's just not as attractive to me. So what I've been doing is I've been taking those, slowly unwinding those positions and putting them into bond funds, which have done quite well recently, not necessarily this week, but in the last 3 months or so, bond funds have really rallied. The other thing I'm doing is that when I have individual bonds and treasuries that come due, I'm not necessarily replacing them with individual bonds. I'm putting those into funds as well, just for the potential of price appreciation, because then in a fund, you're able to both get the yield and have the appreciation when you see rates go down. So it's been a pretty good, I would say, pretty successful, pretty good move. Some of the funds we're using are up fairly substantially this year now.
Duration, short, medium, long, or everything?
Kind of all across the board. I mean, it depends on the client and the situation and the portfolio. But I think that as rates come down, you're going to see a price appreciation across the spectrum. So I don't necessarily think it really depends on the individual situation.
All right. Now here's a real hard question, and I don't know the answer to it myself. There is a lot of cash on the sidelines.
There is.
Which has been demonstrated in the last 2 months by these V-shaped recoveries that took
place. Crazy recoveries, yeah. Taking the elevator down and up recently.
Exactly. So is it a good time to get in the equity markets if you're on the sidelines?
So I did an appearance on another podcast this week, and we were talking about the same thing. I feel like we're in a very normal market. I don't feel strongly that it's a great time to buy. I don't feel strongly that it's a horrible time to buy. I think if you are a long-term investor, that if you enter now in 10 years, I think you'll be significantly higher. But I don't think I wouldn't look at this and say screaming buying opportunity. I think there's a lot of risk around the election. I think we are at or near all-time highs on most indexes. So, you know, that's not necessarily always the best time to get in, but there's nothing screaming at me, this is a terrible entry point either.
Some related questions. As you said about the big seven, which sort of starts with NVIDIA, mm-hmm. NVIDIA is way down.
Yeah, well.
But it's way down from way up.
Well, it was, and then it dropped, but then it recaptured about half that drop too. So it's not way down as far as it was.
Buy, sell, or hold?
NVIDIA, I mean, long term, they're positioned just so well. You know, I don't do individual stocks, but I do.
This is hypothetical.
Yeah, I really respect their positioning in the market. I think that AI is just at the very, very beginning of what is possible with that tool. And they are positioned the best to create the products that support that technology.
And speaking of products that support that technology, Apple laid a bit of an egg. It came out with a 16, but it's AI's not on it yet. And I think a lot of people were very disappointed.
Yeah, that is a little disappointing. They've been a little bit behind the curve with that. Yep. Although they did say, I read just this morning, that the 16 is selling better than the 15. So who knows?
That's something. Yeah. And you know, as soon as it's ready, you'll wake up in the morning, they'll have downloaded it.
Yeah, it is disappointing it's not on there, though. I mean, I don't understand how they missed that one.
Well, it is the topic in technology,
yeah,
right now.
Exactly.
And that's why I was kind of surprised this happened. Fortunately, I'm not feeling the need right now. But another thing they did, it seems to me, they've kept the pricing in line. with pretty normal people.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the first time they went to the $1,000 mark and the world set its hair on fire because, oh my God, $1,000.
Yeah.
Now, that's kind of what you expect to pay for a decent phone.
Yeah, it's true.
All right, much more to come after a short break. And don't go anywhere. This is the Vanwee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Vanwee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanwee.
And I'm Adam Vanwee.
And I remind everybody, the lines are open, 904-222-8255. And the trivia question is out there. Of the five college majors that people regret having signed up for the most, I've given you four of them: social and behavioral sciences, the humanities and arts, life sciences, and education. What is the fifth and sort of surprising, I think, entrant in the list, I guess. Okay, we've pretty much beaten the market to death here, and it's still alive, so that's good. I still believe now, probably more than ever, it's less about stock picking right now than it is about asset allocation and diversification. We're talking about some of the ETFs, like the QQQM, the technology one. Even with the big companies, the big ones like NVIDIA having pulled back 15% or more, it is doing absolutely great. And if you're interested in getting back into more equities now, but you're kind of timid, doing it that way rather than buying stocks, to me, is a clear winner. Yeah, there'll be a lot of people out there who will argue with me, and that's fine. They're entitled to their opinion, even though they're wrong.
QQQ is one of the one area that has not regained an all-time high, though. It's still below its previous high.
That's so, what I think.
That is
not a bad time to look into.
Directly related to those big seven stocks.
Yeah. And, you know, we never make things recommendations until you come and talk to us and say, well, this would fit for you. I'm just giving you some ideas to look around in. And it's interesting. Well, an old friend came back into existence this week. I don't know how many people were paying attention to it, but remember Three Mile Island?
Yeah.
Guess what?
I saw this, actually.
It is being rehabbed and reopened.
For, like, as a nuclear plant?
As a nuclear plant.
Okay.
And do you know why?
I don't.
This is the best thing at all. It's artificial intelligence is sucking up so much electricity that nobody can figure out how to get it except with nuclear. This makes me positively giddy that the greenies out there are going to have to live through the reopening of Three Mile Island. It was certainly not a tempest in a teapot, but it was not what people said it was. No, people weren't dying all over the place. It was not Chernobyl, anything like that. But then they made that movie in California about it. Remember that?
I don't.
Can't remember the name of the thing, but it was all about it. China Syndrome, that was it.
Oh, okay.
And that's when the real anti-nuke push started, and we went decades and decades without building any nuke plants. In fact, they were shutting them down. And it, of course, it did what those things do. It traveled to Europe, and Germany decided to close all their nuke plants. Then they found out they were short of electricity, so they started opening coal plants. And if that isn't shooting yourself in the foot, I don't know what is. But here we go. And by the way, Three Mile Island is not the end of the line. I have discussed a couple of times people like Bill Gates, who are investing in these smaller companies now. They have hopefully perfected, but they've developed the small nuke plants. And those are very good for people who have data centers because they park them right next to the data center. And then the city can also use electricity. It's fabulous. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How's everything?
Hey, everything's great. Look forward to seeing you guys the week of the 30th. I've listened maybe to 400 or your 500 hours, and you give great investment advice, but also there's a lot of other learnings that you guys provide, and you do a great community service just by fan to be on the air there. So, I think, you know, people don't give you enough kudos for that.
Well, thank you.
Really appreciate it.
You can do as many as you want.
Hey, we were in Gainesville last Sunday, uh-huh. and we went to an Italian restaurant. We met some friends from Italy, and our waiter happened to be a computer major, and we were talking. I like to chat with people because I'm social and I'm past salesman, so I was asking him, I said, so what are your plans? He goes, well, I'm going to stay in school a little bit longer and try to drag things out because the job market is not real good right now for my field. So I thought that was an interesting comment.
That is interesting.
I've heard it, too.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, but I'm going to take a swag, a silly, wild, you know what, guess yeah. at your trivia question, and I'm going to say journalism.
You know, that is a really, really good guess.
It is. It's not one I thought of, but it's a great guess.
No, it isn't right, but it's a really good guess and should stimulate some conversation.
There you go. There you go. Well, I'll hang up and listen. Enjoy my Saturday mornings from 10 to 11.
So. Well, we appreciate it. We'll look forward to seeing you real soon, too.
So, all right. Thanks.
Take care. Thanks.
All right. Be good. Listen to the end.
We did not pay him to say that.
No. He's a friend, but he's not a paid employee. Anyway, I hope he can stick around at the end because I think everybody's going to love the answer to this one.
Yeah, journalism is a great guess, though.
Because, it is.
I mean, the amount of jobs in journalism is so much lower than it used to be. And yep. and the competition from people who aren't journalism majors, there's probably as many people that read online blogs about current events as there are people who read the major publications. So,
and you got all the accumulators all over the place.
Yeah.
That, for me, I first got used to that concept with the Drudge Report way back in like 2000. Yeah, it used to be good.
Yeah, it did. It's
I'm
gone off the rails
past tense now. On that one. But it's actually a topic that comes up a lot around our house. When Adam's mom, my wife, my research department, et cetera, it's all the same person. When she went to college, she went into journalism back when the school was still called journalism, and it was manned, the professors were liberal. But what they taught was journalism. And she learned real honest-to-goodness journalism, albeit from people who we probably would have disagreed with a lot. And actually, her parents, when she was growing up, lived across the street from the publisher of the local paper in Racine, Wisconsin, for those of you who don't know. And they were best friends, and you could not find two people diametrically opposed to all of the other things, but they were just really great people. So I got married young and got into that family young, and I got taught what journalism was supposed to be, and I've lived with it since. And we watched it change. In fact, Sarah asked me a couple of days ago, can you sort of pinpoint when all this was? And I said, yeah, I can. I don't know if I'm right, but I remember I guess it was my last year at the University of Wisconsin in Madison, and they built a gigantic building, all brand new, right across the street from Bascom Hall, just down from the Capitol building and all that. And it was called Mass Communications. And when they changed journalism to Mass Communications, I believe they attracted an entire different set of people. And that, to me, was the day the music died, so to speak, for journalism. And then people went into it, and it wasn't long that when the new graduates were being interviewed, people asked why they went into it, and they said, because I wanted to make a difference. Now, journalists don't make a difference. Journalists report news, and that's the way it had always been. But no, these people want to go in and express their opinion and enlighten you with their opinion and so on. And you've all seen it every day for the past several decades.
Boy, have we ever.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous what passes for journalism. So now, as you say, there's all of these other outlets and other ways to get your information. And maybe it'll get better. I don't know. I'm not wildly optimistic about the field of journalism.
Yeah, I'm not either.
That's why I think Bob's guess was excellent. Now, maybe it's because those people don't understand that when they graduated, they didn't become what they were supposed to become. They became what they wanted to become.
Yeah, so those people might actually be happy.
Yeah, they might be happy.
Yeah.
But you're right about the dwindling roles. When you see it, there's barely a newspaper left breathing air, is there?
Yeah, not really. I mean, most of them have just gone to more or less online publications.
Yeah, and the AP still controls the flow of most information. The AP is a hopelessly biased situation in its own right. So, I don't know. It's not fun like it used to be with the old gumshoes and flip over pads and so on, the in your face interviews, the things you can only see now in the old black and white movies, it seems. Anyway, I digress, but I love to digress, so why not? I'm back to Three Mile Island. They're building and opening a lot of these little out of the way places, nuke plants that are solely there to power data centers and the chat AI and all those, or whatever it's called. I don't know. I don't follow the
chat GPT.
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 Okay. Those things suck up so much. In fact, I remember the day I used that as a trivia question. It was quite a few years ago now, and I was sitting right here, and the question was, what's the second largest user of electricity in the country? First, of course, was the federal government. But second was the industry that we call it data mining, data centers.
I thought that was Bitcoin.
Crypto.
Yeah, crypto
mining. That's all under the big category of that. And it's gotten nothing but worse, and they're solving it. That's a good thing, and we'll talk more about it as soon as we get back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have on the phone, good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning. How's everybody?
We're great.
Good.
What's on your mind?
Well, just a couple of things. Kim Jim Ung Jong, whatever his name is, in North Korea, they say that because of government failures and they had a big flood in North Korea, he executed up to 30 government officials.
I read that.
And I'm thinking about Washington, D.C. when I read that.
I'm not going to go there, but I'm glad you did.
Okay. All right. And just one other tidbit. The Three Mile Island thing is very interesting. In fact, Constellation Energy went up over $30 the other day.
Wow.
Because they're helping start up some nuclear plants. I think Three Mile is one of them.
It is.
And Microsoft is the prime reason they need all that electrical capacity.
Yep.
And I think we're going to see that much more in the future.
We've been arguing for it for decades.
Well, mm-hmm.
Yeah, major companies will make deals with nuclear power plants. That's a new niche.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely.
It's axiomatic that their way doesn't work. Who wants a wind farm offshore from your Hamptons estate? Not them. And they're breaking, and the things aren't just going according to plan. And those are the kind of people that say if they make a plan, then it should just happen. But it doesn't just happen because it can't.
Very true. Yeah. Very true. I remember the big to-do over Indian Point in New York.
Yeah.
What's his name? Oliver Stone, who did movies like Platoon and JFK. Yeah. There was a documentary last year that I just recently watched about nuclear now and how there's a lot of myths supposedly about nuclear, and nobody's ever died because of any failure,
right,
and that we just need nuclear power if we're going to, for those people that are concerned with global warming, et cetera, that nuclear power is going to have to come much more back into the mix.
And They are absolutely correct.
It's never made sense to me why the environmentalists got on such a push to ban it. I don't understand it.
Yeah, they went nuts.
Very true. Interesting documentary called Nuclear Now by Oliver Stone. I would suggest people watch that.
Yeah, he's become a more interesting character in the past couple of years. He used to be very hard to put up with, I guess. Trying to be nice.
Yeah. I'll take a quick shot at the trivia, but it's a tough one there, Steve, because I read there's a lot of degrees. Sad to say, but I read there's a lot of degrees they say
too many
worthless in college.
It's a much longer list than the top five would suggest. You can count on it.
Absolutely. I kind of wish you gave like a little tiny scintilla of a hint, but gee, there's so many ways to go with this. There was you're better off not going into anthropology or archaeology, marketing. But in any case, I'll just pick one of the ones was coding and medical billing.
Oh,
wow. That's not the one we're looking for, but it's interesting. I don't know what the future of that is. We kind of went through it with a client when it was just getting started, and she went out and got retrained and got a great job and all of that. But since then, I haven't really kept up with it. I do know that in our personal lives, we've had a few coding errors happen, and it was relatively easy to get them fixed with a simple phone call. But that's interesting. Very interesting.
My wife actually works for a local company that is in that space, and it's AI is going to be a big deal there.
I can imagine that.
Yeah.
So, cool. Well, we appreciate it.
Yeah, I'll be very anxious to hear the answer, and have a great weekend, gentlemen, like always.
Thanks, Mike. You too.
All right, let's shift gears just a little bit. Oh, wait, I did want to do a couple things here. Microsoft is already running, as Mike was saying, a new plant with Constellation at a Virginia data center. There's another one in Pennsylvania that's being reopened, one in Michigan that's coming out of mothballs, and I think I read that there's one in Idaho where there's a big data center too. So these things are, it's fascinating because you can put them anywhere. Kind of liken it to the old steel industry where it had to be in places like Pittsburgh so they could get all of the materials together. And then Nucor came along with their continuous casting machines. And then all of a sudden they could build them in Alabama and places like that where they were needed. Distributed processing is the general term. And that's what's happening now with these nuke plants that are smaller and easier to maintain. And they're really not dangerous. You know, all of that is such an overdone hype, I guess. All right. Like I say, now let's off question a little bit or off track. Adam, do you know what Clubhouse is on the internet?
No.
I did not either. Apparently, it's just a way to get people talking to each other, but it's kind of private, I guess, more like person to person. I gather it's like a crypto style thing, but if you're on it, you should know that it is the home of a bunch of crypto scams. So if you're on Clubhouse and you start seeing something about anything to do with crypto and such, question it big time. Americans were duped out of $5.6 billion by crypto scams last year, which is up 45% from 2022. And you got to be really careful. We remember when the crypto was just starting, and I expressed a suspicion that a lot of this was because they thought it was a guaranteed safe thing that was unable to be tapped by the government. Well, both of those things are false.
Yeah, that didn't work out very well, did it?
No. And I warned them about that, and whatever happened, I don't know. But just thought you might be kind of interested in that. All right, we don't have a lot of time here.
There are too many legitimate ways to buy crypto now. I don't see how you could just go to one of the legitimate ones. I mean, you've got so many options. Just don't get scammed. It just doesn't. If it sounds too good to be true, it's probably not.
But some of us could make the argument that if you buy crypto, you've already been scammed. But that's a story for another day.
I mean, at this point, I don't think it's going to go away.
No. In fact, Trump's a big supporter.
He just was the first president to ever pay in crypto, I guess, this weekend.
Bought a bunch of burgers from crypto.
Yeah.
I remember one of the early Bitcoin stories that a guy, went to the grocery store or restaurant or something and paid in crypto. And it, just a few years later, that would have been worth millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Crypto, because it came out of nowhere. And I laugh because it seems like the right thing to do, but I guess I'm not sorry for him. He did it all voluntarily, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. What can you say? A lot of things happening on the Social Security front these days, too. And they're all supposedly aimed at preventing the system from going belly up. And how people can figure that they can save this thing unless they make some serious structural changes is beyond me. Probably the number one, Social Security made nearly $72 billion in improper payments. Now, that's a, from 2015 to 2022, they made $72 billion of improper payments. And then they complain because they lose $9 billion a year. What's wrong with this picture? If you had a regular old business and the accountants came to you and said, you lost $72 billion because of things that you did wrong, blatantly wrong, giving money to people who don't deserve it, and now you want a raise of $14 billion, and we expect to get it because the only way you can fix Social Security is very obvious. Throw money at it. The universal answer in Washington, D.C., every problem ever, you just throw enough money at it and it will correct itself. Or not. And this is going to be another not. Be very aware of people trying to make it expensive, more expensive, I guess, for you. And one of the things I don't understand is Trump's proposals. I really love the concept of not taxing Social Security. That's how it was written. That's how it was promised to all of us. But that's not how it is. And when you're looking at a time frame of about 8 years before this thing becomes insolvent and everybody gets a pay cut, you can't be making suggestions like that unless there's a backup plan. The backup plan is always going to be the same. Woo, that was interesting.
Whoa.
The backup plan is going to be tax the rich and throw money at it. More to come on that next week, obviously, too. The fifth in the top five regrets from college graduates is one that I don't think anybody would have gotten. Law. Adam and I were discussing this right before the show started. The number of lawyers who actually are doing very well and satisfying their lifelong dreams from becoming a lawyer is a lot smaller than you might think.
The problem with law is there's a big difference in perception and reality about the legal field and what lawyers do.
Yep. It is something that if you are being raised in a family or something like that, or just think it's a good thing, you see it on TV and so on, look into it before you jump. That's my best advice. Much more next week at the same time. Thanks for listening. We'll see you then. This is